Desiring to come after his beloved this morning. As I stood back there in worship and said, Lord, what is it that you want to say to these women through prayer? What is it that's on their hearts? What is it that is pulling at them this morning? And I feel like he says he wants to come after you and grab his beloved. He wants to come after your heart like he came after the tables in the temple and cleared them. Your God is a jealous God, and he's jealous for your heart. He wants it all. He wants every piece of you. He wants to consume you with his fire so he can give you the heart's desire that you have. Lord, there is no one like you. There is no one like you. There is no other that we give glory and honor and praise to, Father, this morning, except to you and to you alone and to your name, Father. And we humble ourselves in this place this morning, Lord, that your words would be spoken, that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to rule in this place, to minister not only corporately to our hearts, but to the individual desires and hurts and pains. And I just speak to the spirit of doubt to leave this place in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of loneliness to leave this place in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of depression to leave this place in the name of Jesus. You have no place, you have no foothold in this place, because Jesus' power is real and it is in our hearts and it is here today. Father, we receive what it is you have for us today, Lord, that our ears would be open to hear, that our eyes would be open to see, that our hearts would receive and our mind would understand that which you are speaking to the church this morning. Lord, that we would not be a people ignorant to your word, that we would not be a people ignorant to your power. Lord, fill us with wisdom, fill us with discernment, fill us with understanding, Lord Jesus, so we can walk this journey out. Oh, Father, it is you that transforms us. It is you. Ladies, I'm not up here to make a name for myself. I'm up here to get the Word of God into your hearts, to get the Word of God known into your situation, into your life, into your depression, into your anxiety, into your fears that you have, because the Word of God in your life will transform you. You won't need counseling. You won't need therapy. You won't need prayer. You'll just need the Word of God in the name of Jesus over your life every day. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful worship. Oh, that just opened up the heavens, Lord, so that your presence can just fall in this place. We need you, Father, and I need you this morning. I need your presence, for I can do nothing without you. In Jesus' mighty, authentic, powerful name, the name that is above every name, the name that everything must take a knee and bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth at the name, the powerful, wonder-working power, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for that incredible worship. Are y'all so blessed by them? Yes, I am. I am so blessed to have Michelle. I've known Michelle since I was six years old. I know. Her older sister Angela and I are very close friends, but she lives in Kentucky. But Michelle has always been a very close friend of mine too, because every time I went over to their house to pray, she would be there. We'd play, and I took her to school every day in high school. Woo, we have stories. We have stories, so I'm so blessed. Amen. If you have not grabbed an outline this morning, please do so. You will be blessed by the outlines. The Lord, can you hear me? I know, but I don't use a mic. Okay, Michelle. Obviously, Michelle has selective hearing. Yes, y'all can hear me over there. Say woo! I love it. Okay, y'all's outlines are a little bit different this time. They're the questions, but I feel like the Lord said he wanted to add something on the back of it. So if you'll turn it over, you will see that there's a prayer there. A prayer. I have heard more ladies tell me, I don't know how to pray. I just don't know where to start. I don't know what to do, especially when I go home after the Bible studies and I want to take in what was said and I want to apply it to my life. So I felt like the Lord wanted me to add a prayer at the end. So when you go home this week and study what you've just gone over, this is something you can pray over yourself into the atmosphere. When I first started walking intimately with Christ, I loved reading other people's prayer. People that have weathered storms, people that have had the wisdom and the discernment and the knowledge to know how to pray. And I began to study their prayers and read them and read them and read them and read them. And then as God matured me and I got more into the Word, I began to pray myself, and I felt myself praying these prayers, and I could feel the Holy Spirit around me. So I put these prayers on the back. Every one of them will have a prayer, and I just wanted to bless you with them. Take them this week and read them as you feel led to do so. The title of this entire series is called?
I'm Worth It.
Yay! Five people knew. Five people. The title of this entire six-week series is called You Are Worth It. Now, y'all are going to think this is so funny, and I'm going to share it with you. Because you want to know where I got that title from? Are you ready? This is an Amanda-ism right here, okay? So, I'm driving in my car, and that song comes on, Baby, You're Worth It. Uh-huh, You're Worth It. And I'm sitting there thinking, I just love this song. Yeah. You know? And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you something, ladies. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, not just in church or that Bible study. He'll speak to you when you're jamming in your car. And all of a sudden, I felt in my spirit, this is what your whole next Bible study is going to be about. And I thought, oh, as I'm sitting there.
And that is not what she's talking about.
In my minivan. This is what, yeah, the content of that song is a little bit off what I'm talking about today, but the whole idea is that you are worth it. And God said, that is how I feel about you. This is what I feel about the ladies. They are worth everything it takes to bring them into the joy that they are supposed to experience in my name. He says, you are worth to have joy in the morning. You are worth to have comfort. You are worth to have a touch of healing in your life. You are worth the fight for your against loneliness and against despair and against the things that come at us constantly in this world. But God is saying you are worth it. And he's willing to do everything it takes to bring you into that place. I just feel like God is wanting to go after y'all today. And this whole series just want to come after you and come after your heart. He's tired of sharing you. He's tired of it. He wants all of you. All of you. This is the year for you to experience his power and authority in your life. Who's done? Who is enough? Come on. You get to a place where you say enough is enough. This is the year. This is the year where I'm going to experience what God has for me. I'm going to experience his truth. I'm so tired of the false perceptions that keep bombarding us, right? All the time. The truth. He wants to give it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. He's going to show you where to go and the direction and what to do. He's going to heal your body physically, spiritually, emotionally. Man, God is after you today. Turn to your neighbor and say, girl, you worth it. 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 Now, I know you're going to go into your car when you leave and YouTube that song and work it. Please do that. please do that. Yeah. I wish I had the song, and as you exited Bible study, you just all went out like this. I needed a DJ to mix that CD. Okay, here we go. We're going to start now. No more playing. The title of today's message is the first one. It says, "What does it take?" Okay, whew. Now we get to dig with our shovels a little bit, okay? What does it take? Anytime you want to start something new that's effective and new in your life, isn't the number one question you have is, what does it take? What do I have to do? You know, when you see the infomercials, you see the finished product, and you're like, fantastic. Now, how do I have to get that? What do I have to do to get there? You know, it's all about, what does it take? Show me the breakdown. Show me what to do. Give me the step by step. But before I go any farther this morning, I want y'all to realize that this is not a works talk this morning, okay? This is not about what you have to do with your left hand and your right hand to experience God's power in your life. This is not about works. This is not a physical action that you will take. I'm going to give you a secret. This is an attitude action. I said it. This is an attitude action, a change of the heart. Because I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Whatever your heart craves and cries out for is what you will physically do. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is truth. Whatever your heart craves, whatever is going on in your house, that which will come out and present itself in the physical. Amen. I know there's plenty of women that could testify to that, including myself this morning. It's an attitude action. Oh, Father, what's the next step to this changing of my attitude, of my heart? Let's go deeper this morning. I don't know about y'all, but I keep hearing the word freedom. The last 2 years, I feel like the word freedom is being passed around like a volleyball in the sand. I mean, literally, freedom of speech, freedom to do what you want, freedom of choice, freedom to love who you want to love, freedom to marry who you want to marry, freedom to be a boy if you're a girl, freedom to be a girl if you're a boy. Just freedom, so much freedom out there. It's just being tossed out right and left. So many choices, so many options. This land is just so open and free, right? So free. But I just have this one question. Why in a land so free is there so much emotional bondage?
Because there's not freedom of religion.
Partly.
We don't know what we're slaves to our egos.
Because we're slaves to our egos. 27% of Americans, 27% of Americans struggle with some kind of emotional bondage. And I'm going to tell you something. It is the highest percentage out of any place in the entire world. Come on, ladies. The home of the free and the home of the brave struggle to keep themselves emotionally healthy. But we're so free. We've got so many options, so many choices to be who I want to be. Don't you think if I had so many choices to be who I want to be, I wouldn't have so much issues on the inside? Come on, I need a witness this morning. What's going on? Amen. Hey, I like y'all's feedback this morning. I'm getting like popcorn. I like it. But I drove all the way here this morning from Canyon Lake to tell you something better. There is a freedom that's provided for you without baggage or side effects. Come on, raise your hand and say amen. Amen. There is a freedom that is provided for you without bondage or side effects. It's not going to give you intestinal issues and cause diarrhea. I couldn't wait to say that. You know those commercials are hilarious. You're like, well, my elbow works, but the rest of my body's falling apart. Hilarious. Okay, so you won't get any of that stuff with Jesus. The freedom that he offers does not have baggage, and it does not have side effects Oh my goodness, tell me more about this freedom. The Bible says in John 8:36, and Jesus says this, it should be written on your paper. It said, paper. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now I'm going to say that one more time. It says, if the who sets you free? If the Son sets you free. Does it say if the church sets you free? Does it say if government sets you free? Does it say if rules set you free? Does it say that the school system will set you free? No, it says if the Son sets you free, even rights to do the things that you want to do, it does not say that will set you free. It says the Son. Who is the Son? Why are we here? Jesus. So if Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. Now, I want to talk to you. There is two kind of freedoms that Jesus is telling us here. I bet you didn't know that. He's talking about two different freedoms here. He's talking about free, and then there's free indeed, right? There are two kind of freedoms that are offered in this world. We're going to start with the word free. This is what the world offers you. The world offers you free. This is what free feels like. You escaped jail. You were in jail, but you escaped. You are now no longer in jail, right? No longer are you in jail. You escaped, so you're free, right? Come on. Physically, I escaped jail, so I'm free. But what am I having to do in my freedom? Run, hide. And I'm constantly looking over my shoulder because what? Something is still following me. Something is still after me. Come on, ladies. That's good preaching. Free. Free. That is what the world offers you. But you still are running from someone and you're still running from something. I know there are people here that say, well, I'm born again believer, I'm a Christian, but I feel like I'm still escaping fear every day. And I feel like I'm still escaping depression every day. And I feel like I'm still escaping suicidal thoughts and doubt and loneliness and hurt and pain from my past. You are not walking in the Son's promise of being free indeed. Free indeed. This is what free indeed is. You're gonna figure out the difference right now. Free indeed is, I'm in jail. Jesus has the key. He unlocks the key. I am released out of prison because he unlocked the key. If I walk out of prison because the key has been released and he's unlocked me, am I constantly looking over my shoulder because something didn't go right? No. I am free indeed. No longer am I running. No longer do I have to hide from the enemy trying to come after me. No longer do I have to be scared that something and someone is chasing me, my past, present, or future. He let me out. The difference between both of them, ladies, is that Jesus did free indeed, and you came to do free. Woo! Free indeed. Ooh. To have the Son set you free, you will be free indeed. Wow, if that's not a prayer to wake up to every morning, just the realization that it's not you that brings you out, that it's God that brings you out. And when the fear and the things start to come, you say, wait a minute, those things were left back in jail. I am free indeed because Jesus set me free. It wasn't my choice. It wasn't my actions. It's not my physicalness. It's Jesus and him alone. That's how you get free indeed. There is a freedom that comes from walking with Jesus, an understanding and a guidance for your life. Are you ready? We're going to go to the headline verse for today. Headliner verse. Are you ready? It's John 8:31 through 32. Please flip there in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one. We have plenty of them back on the table. You need a Bible for Bible study because I'm going to tell you something. We love the Bible, and we use it. We use it. People always ask me when they come to Bible study, what do I need to bring? What do I need to do? Nothing. Your Bible. Yourself. Those are the only two things I request of you. And an open heart. John 8:31 through 32. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Ooh, y'all are a great congregation. Jesus says, Jesus says, so he's speaking, so let's really listen up. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, I'm going to read this verse one more time because it's short, so you won't fall asleep if I read it again. I want you to really pay attention to the words being said here, okay? Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, before I begin anything else, I want to talk about the commonness of this verse, right? Who has not ever heard this verse before? Okay, exactly my point. This is the verse that everybody knows. This is the verse that's cross-stitched on your grandma's pillow in her dining room. This is the verse that people have, you know, painted out on like farm wood, like planks. Come on, that's like super popular right now. Farmwood planks, you know, and you write all this stuff on them. So that this is the verse you put up there. And we dance and we say, ooh, if the sun is set free, I'm free indeed, you know? It's just a feel-good verse, right? It makes you feel good, like, ooh. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm tired of us dancing over a feel-good feeling of God's word. There is some kind of truth that God is trying to speak to us. I don't want to dance in a feel-good feeling. I want to dance because I'm understanding what he's declaring me to do. And I'm walking in wisdom, and I'm walking in discernment because I know what to do with this verse. I'm not just sitting here thinking, it feels so good. I'm so free. Oh, no. Understanding. What is Jesus trying to tell me, show us, the body of Christ, about being a disciple of him, because that's what we all desire to be here this morning, and experiencing this freedom. Freedom. What is it that he wants to show us? I want you to specifically look at verse 31. Jesus says that if you hold to my teachings, if you hold to my teachings. I want you to underline or write the word hold. Hold. Jesus used the word hold. That's the action verb that he gave us to have truth. Okay? Hold. What does hold mean? Hold means to grasp or carry support with two hands. Hold. Hold means to grasp, carry, support with two hands. That's what Jesus just told us the action is to experiencing truth. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Do we hold God's word like that? I mean, really think about it. Do we hold, we talk about promises and God's truth and what he has and Bible study and the goodness of God and all these incredible, awesome things, but do we really carry and support them like we would our child? Or what about when you get a big check and you're headed to the bank? This is so funny. So you know how when you have a big check, and you're like, gotta go deposit it in the bank. And you have it in your purse. You know how you are. I'm not the only one that does this. You kind of hold your, you hold it inside the purse. And every 5 seconds you open up to make sure it's still there. And you keep your hand on it. And so when you finally give it to the banker, it's like sweaty and it has your fingerprints on it. Come on, ladies, I'm not the only one. You know, when you got a big check and you're headed to the bank, you're really making sure it's okay, right? You're really making sure you don't lose that thing. Oh my gosh, what if we would have lost it? What would happen if we lost that big fat check? What would happen? Oh, I must hold on to it. But what if we held on to God's promises like we do a big fat check we're heading to the bank? Because you know what? Every day God requires us to head to the bank of his word. And his word says that his word does not return void. Checks return void. Promises return void. Things return void in this world, but the Bible says that his word does not return void, that it accomplishes where it is sent, and it prospers, not pulls back, not negative, not a withdrawal. He prospers where it goes. He's just asking us to hold his promises. Hold them. Hold them. Support them. Grasp them in their life. And I kept thinking to myself, why do we have so much trouble holding his promises? What is it? Why do they keep slipping between our fingers? Why do we keep dropping them? Why in hard situations do we struggle to carry them? Oh, doubt, oh, fear, oh. And we're juggling these promises and they're falling all over the place. And as I began to ask the Holy Spirit, Father, why can't we grasp your truth? And he says, it's because if you're trying to hold something of value and you're focusing on holding this and you don't have a firm foundation, you will drop everything you carry. And I thought, you're right. If I try to carry God's awesome promises and my foundation is rocky and crumbling and not even there. Let's say I don't even have a foundation. How am I to carry this if I'm falling all over where I'm walking? But if I have a firm foundation, I'm not focused on my foundation. It's there. It's there. So when I carry God's promises, I carry them with two strong hands. And I don't worry about the ground that I'm walking on because I know that I know that I know that I have a firm foundation. Come on, ladies. A firm foundation. And I thought, well, Lord, this is so elementary. I said, you've been talking about firm foundations since preschool. And he says, because we need to get back to the basics of life. He says, we get so caught up on wanting meat. He says, but some of us still need milk. He says, I want you to go back just for a minute and talk about the foundation. The foundation. And how do you build a firm foundation? How do you fix a cracked, crumbling foundation? What do? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6. Please keep your spot in John because we'll be going back there. But right now I want you to flip over to Luke. Luke 6, 46 through 49. This is going to be the story, the parable of the wise and foolish builder. Lots of preschool stories on this. 6:46 through 49. Are you ready? I'm reading. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep. Please underline that, highlight it, circle it, star it, smiley face it, emoji it, whatever. And laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. What is Jesus trying to tell us here about building a foundation? What does he say? What are the words that I had you underline? Dig down deep. Now, I don't want you to go to Home Depot and buy a shovel and go in your backyard and start digging till you hit rock, okay? This is not what God is asking us to do. What is dig down deep? Well, dig down deep first is not to sit around hoping for a good foundation. Well, I hope that God fixes my marriage. Well, I hope and pray that my kids follow after God. Well, I just hope that I just learn to know God a little bit more. That is not digging down deep. Hoping is not putting into action what he says for us to do here. To dig down deep is to humble yourself. Come on, ladies. These are the attitudes of the heart that we're talking about. You think you're supposed to go out and serve your neighbor and go make some pies and volunteer at everything that is able to volunteer at the church, and that's how you're digging down deep. No, you know what's going to happen then? You're going to get frustrated, bitter, angry, and quit. This is an attitude change of the heart. To dig down deep means to humble yourself, to open your ears to his word, so he can speak to you truth. Truth. Repent. There's nothing that makes Jesus happier than a people that repent. Repent. Repent of known sin and repent of ignorant sin in your life. Sin you know not of in our life. Be a living sacrifice for him. Just say, God, I'm open to you. Use me today how you want to use me, because I want to be a sweet vessel for your kingdom. I want to be a sweet aroma that you speak of in your word that's so sweet to your nostrils. I want to be the person you have called me to be to my husband and to my children and to my neighbor and to the people around me. Lord, change my heart, oh God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit. Dig down deep. Be a living sacrifice for him. All of a sudden, a firm foundation begins to be laid. All of a sudden, you'll find yourself not so focused on your steps, but more focused on God's promises for you and carrying them in your life. All of a sudden, you won't be tripping right and left and thinking, why in the heck can I not just stay on this journey with God? You'll be saying, man, God's promises are real and they're truth. And I'm so glad that I grasp them every single day of my life. That foundation begins to form. An amazing thing happens. Look at verse 49. Look at verse 49. It says, the one who is not dug down deep builds his house with no foundation. Anything and everything you carry or care about will beat that house down. Now you need to realize that the Bible says that the rain fell on both houses, okay? Just because you're walking with God doesn't mean that you have a shield around you that protects you from everything. There's still an enemy out there that's trying to get you. But the amazing thing about what God promises, he says when there's a foundation, he says you don't have to fear that which comes around you to try to bring fear. You don't have to fear it because my promises is true in your life. And you can walk through the fire and not be burned. And you can walk through the water and not be drowned. And you can walk and not thirst, because God is filling you and he's protected you. And he is for you, not against you this morning. And you can carry his promises and then be a living testimony for somebody else that needs to hear it. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Having a firm foundation is key to carrying, grasping the truth of God's word. Now, go back to verse 32 in John. John 8:32. Jesus says, you are really, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then he gives a big fat word that's spelled then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then you can walk with me and talk with me and begin to experience the things that you come to church and the pastor tells you this will happen in your life and you have yet to experience and you wish for it. Then you begin to see these things, the fruit come on the vine, because you have dug down to the root and you're allowed your roots to take nourishment down deep where the water flows. Yes. That's the way it goes, ladies. This is why we have so many frustrated people in the church, because we have people that come to church where life has hit them in the face and they're like, oh, I better go to church. So they come to church and they think A, B, C, D, this is what I should do. And then they walk away so mad and disappointed because nothing changes and nothing good happens. And it's because they want God's benefits, but they don't want to give him anything. You got to dig down deep for change. Dig down deep. Dig down deep. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wow, real freedom, real freedom. Not America freedom, not you released yourself but still looking over your shoulder, but real freedom to walk in the truth of God's word and to live and to move and to have his being in your life. Real freedom, not to be bound by so much around us if you hold to your teaching. Now I have to say this before I go on. In this day and age, what is truth? What is truth? There's so many lies floating around spiritually, physically, politically. It's like, what the heck is truth? Who do I believe? Who do I not believe? It's so like, oh, I don't know how you feel, but that's how I feel. Like, what is truth? The government tells me truth is one thing. The church tells me truth is one thing. What is going on? What is truth? But let me tell you what God says. God says that he is the way. He says, I'm the truth, and he says, I'm the life. Stop there. That's all you need to know. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is truth. Come on. Jesus is truth. It does not say that the church is the truth. It does not say that school is the truth, even your little Christian schools. It doesn't say they're the truth. Government's not the truth. Family's not the truth. It says Jesus is the truth. Please always go back to him and his word if you have any doubt about anything, because that's the truth. That is truth. And whatever the Bible says should line up with the truth that you believe of what's going on around you. Okay? Very important that you realize that. He is the truth. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 6, we should put on the armor of God. The first thing he tells us to put on, it is the girdle of truth. First and foremost, don't put on anything else, because it's not going to work for you if you don't believe that Jesus is truth in your life. You got to put on the girdle of truth. You got to believe who Jesus is before anything else comes into play in your life. Wow. Put them around your middle. Just, I think that's so funny that Paul tells us to put the belt of truth on, because in average, all people struggle with their midriff. It's just true. It is. You can do all sorts of statistics, but most Americans struggle, people just in general, with their middle. And I kept thinking like, well, I wonder if Paul says to put truth around your middle, because what is a weakness now can become a strength in your life when you gird yourself with truth. I mean, that's just me thinking in my brain, but you never know. God, Holy Spirit could be mixed into it a little bit. But with Jesus' teachings grasped in your arms and a firm foundation, what could be troubling you now can now become a strength in your life, because you're walking in truth. Now I'm going to end with this. I want to go back and talk to you about who Jesus is actually speaking to in this verse. Ah, ha, 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 ha. He is speaking to a specific group of people about truth. So, this specific teaching can't be taught to just anybody. Come on, ladies. Y'all are a special group in here this morning. This teaching is spoken to what the Bible says. Now, I want you to go back and I want you to look at who he's speaking to. Verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him. One more time. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, ladies, you're a believing group of ladies here this morning. That's why you're here, because you want to grow and you want to understand and you want to feel and know God's truth in your life, and you want to learn how to be a disciple and spread that feeling that God has given you out to the uttermost parts of this world, right? Come on, we're not going to just carry them around in little candy jars for ourselves. We got to pass out pieces to other people. He spoke this to a believing people that knew that he was the Messiah, that he was God, that he was on his throne, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've got to know that he is God in your life. You got to know that he is the head, that he is on his throne, that his train does fill the temple. You've got to realize that he hasn't fallen off his throne and that his head doesn't just crack on the floor when another God's presence comes in. No, when other gods come into the presence of the Jehovah Most High, their heads start falling off and cracking. I love reading that in the Old Testament when the Ark of the Covenant would be taken in to these foreign gods, their gods would, their heads would just fall off. And I'm like, that's so awesome. Your God is on his throne. My favorite part about the Lord's Prayer is that our Father who art in heaven, he's there. He has not changed. He's there. He's there. He's the same. And he forever will be. You can't expect to carry truth when you carry doubt. Come on, that's tweetable. You can't expect to carry truth when you carry doubt. Leave your doubt behind because you're living free, but you're not living free indeed. Ooh, doesn't that make you want to go home and just be like, woo, with Jesus? Ooh, Jesus, thank you for freeing me from this place. Thank you that I didn't have to do it myself because I'm exhausted from trying to make myself perfect. It's exhausting. I keep coming out and I get out, but then I'm constantly having to look over my shoulder because someone and something is constantly chasing me. I'm done. I'm fed up. I want to live free indeed. And I want you to set me free, not myself. Ask the Lord to help you in your unbelief. If there are places in your life, go to him. He's your truth. So you can carry his word. Blessed is she who has believed. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has spoken to her will be accomplished in her life. Blessed. Blessed. Not cursed. Blessed. When you know the truth and the truth will set you free, the benefit of being a disciple is knowing what truth is and being free, really free. Not American free, Jesus free. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you, Father, that you come to bring life, that you come to bring life and to bring it in abundance. Yes, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. But you say, but I have come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. Father, we want to learn to walk this free indeed out. Lord, we want to not run from the things of this world constantly tormenting us and scaring us, but we want to run into your arms and feel your presence in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the women here that they shall go forth like beautiful trees just going out to shed light and to shed shade and people that are scorched by the sun, Father. I just pray that you would just give them the correct kind of shading into people's lives, Lord. I just pray you'd minister to them during this week, Lord. I just thank you so much for these women, Lord, that they would bring friends that need to hear this truth, God, so that women can be transformed by your word. We thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Stop. I have an announcement to make. I know y'all get all excited and you shuffle your papers. Woo! Okay, so God is so good and I'm so blessed and I'm just so thankful for all that he's doing. We're going to go into our small groups. We only have three ladies here leading small groups. Am I correct? Three, one, two, three, three. Oh, we're going to have two groups. Okay, so you're going to get into two groups, which is amazing. So I'm going to let you kind of decide what you want to do with that, Paula. But before we end, I sent an email out this summer saying that the Holy Spirit, it really wasn't me, the Holy Spirit wants to build a website for this ministry. And it's so that women can hear the word everywhere. And they don't have to come here if they live across the state or wherever. And so I am starting an offering campaign. If you have been blessed by this ministry in any way, shape, or form and want to see other people blessed, Please feel free to leave a donation of any type you want to in the basket behind. Also, it will go to our CD ministry, and it will go to the things that we use for to have this just here this morning. So just whatever you feel. If it's only a dollar, great, praise God. You give your dollar with faith, okay? But I have CDs going out everywhere right now. I even have some going to Germany and Africa. And so to have people, I know God is good, so to have a place where we can have people just go and click a button and listen to all the studies, oh, it would make my life easier, even though God gives me grace to make all the CDs. So I'm not complaining. So praise God. All right, go forth into your groups. Blessings.
Are you done right now? Or are you just trying to get it?
Someone decide how we're going to split the groups. Mm-hmm.